Let's take it. We all know, or all people are already over here know, that everyone can edit Wikipedia. But some untold story is that everyone can lead Wikipedia. Everybody can govern Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is actually self-governed. It's such a marvelous project that actually people not only write the articles, but they take care for themselves. Like, they care for their disputes, their policies, their rules, what is notable and what is not, what's neutral, what is not. Actually, the great thing for the people who run it, like Wikimedia Foundation. So I fixed it for you. And here, the huge and in the center, and it will not go out anyway, it's a wiki culture. That's why we have what we have, this self-governed project. We will see how does it influence the case. And actually, how many people of you are from Wikipedia? Like, most of you? No, exclusively. And other wiki projects? Because when I was delivering a talk about Wikipedia a year ago, actually none of people were from Wikipedia, and it was quite strange for me. Okay. Firstly, my story. I'm a Polish Wikimedian, and I entered the project in 2004. If you have been on Hippies with Guns, you remember this transition between tech heads and this eternal September, when all the people rushed in Wikipedia. Yeah, so I was one of the first people who came with the Russian Polish Wikipedia, and it was year 2004. And we had some clash of cultures because the tech heads, because they were the tech heads, actually over there had their own culture where it was a small community, everyone was agreeing with everyone. And suddenly a lot of people came, a lot of people with completely different visions and backgrounds and thoughts how it should be done. So we had a clash. We had a clash in 2004, we had a protest. Even a few CISOPs were protesting against other CISOPs. It was quite cumbersome. However, everything was clean and tidy. On Polish Wikipedia, we didn't have such great words like an English Wikipedia. So actually, even in 2005, I and several other people became CISOPs. After that, I changed the role from being the protester. I became the real part of establishment, as you can say, and I was the member of the first Polish arbitration committee elected with the second place. So it shows something. So Wikipedia is the place where you can really fast, rapidly join something what we call establishment. You can really become the leader, and not even the leader on a small part or the small project. You can actually quickly become a living legend. Like, all of us know the names, like, I don't know, Ofaya or Eloquence. Actually, you can really fast become one of them. It's not a big problem. And the big thing that I saw when I entered the Wikipedia was that not only you can edit articles and not only someone fast corrects your articles, but actually becoming a leader, showing off your vision, showing off your ideas and introducing your ideas is childish easy. It's really easy. Everyone just waits for you to come up and show something new. That's very, very helpful if you have some initiative or imagination. And actually in so-called real life or traditional life, that's not that easy, because even let's take a look on the work of editor. It's a grunt work. It's a regular work. Actually, in a regular company, if you get admitted, this is the work that you will get. However, it's much more difficult to get a job as a kind of a manager or coordinator when you are a student or you are a high school student. And actually, you can become a big manager on a big internet project like Wikipedia, just being, I don't know, on the first year of your university education. Actually, in traditional life, it's not that easy. So maybe you should use that. So on Wikipedia, we have open admission. You don't need to submit your CVs anyway or covering letters. You have very limited hierarchies. And the leading over there is much less complicated because you need only the limited set of skills. You don't need a personal charisma like in real life. You don't need some managerial and professional skills. This set of skills is very limited. And then you are still a volunteer. So actually the scope of your work is limited to what you want to do. If you want to do only one particular thing, like, I don't know, mediating, you can just mediate. And that's all what you need. However, leading is still more difficult than just editing because you need soft skills. And it's not like that you can just copy and paste something from some internet site or the book. You just need that to have. Then you have more contact with people and it means more stress, simply. And then it's highly time consuming. Maybe not when you're just using your leading skills to improve some articles, because you can make it here and there. But if you want to be some kind of like a project leader from the real life, it means the wiki project organizer, that it means that you need to be almost 24/7 online, because people want to communicate with you, you need to respond, you need to react on what other people do. Fortunately, all of us over here can be leaders. It's not as difficult as it may look like. Because, and it's pretty important too, because communication, for instance, is a big thing on Crowded Wiki, I dare say. And then convincing the others might be an even bigger thing. Convincing. Not making them to do something, but convincing them. So, after all, our purpose is to be effective, to get things done. We want to have articles, we want to have new policies, we want to have the better quality on Wikipedia, we want to push, for instance, notability rules in other direction. So actually it means that we need to convince the people, because the people govern Wikipedia. There's no, I don't know, some deity or higher authority that we need to convince. There is no one bureaucratic rule that you need to just make and blah, I made 10,000 experience points and papa, I'm just on a new level on role-playing game. No, it's not like that. You need to convince the people. And actually, it means that you need to lead them somehow. That's leadership. And what kind of leadership can you make? You can't make people to do something. You can't really make people to do something by threatening them or paying them. You don't have any higher authority. All you can do is like using your soft skills, showing them love and appreciation, and then they will follow you. So, leaders love wikis for their openness and ability that they can just introduce their ideas and visions. All the people of initiative would love wikis, so maybe we should show them off. And on the other hand, wikis love leaders because they need their care, they need their attribution, they need cleaning up. And actually, foundation loves wikis too, and leaders too. Have you been on the keynote by Sue Gardner? And a lot of things from these booklets, it was not about editing, actually. It was more about leadership. And if you've been to wiki movements, the actually foundation states that they need many people with purely managerial skills or organizational skills. For instance, contacts between many wiki projects. It's highly needed, and there are not that many people who would like to come up and make this communication possible. You don't need to edit to be profitable for Wikipedia. And that's again wiki culture. So it's pretty easy to step up on wiki and become the leading person. And it's actually not that easy in a real life, and actually it's not that easy in internet life in other sites. Even if they use the MediaWiki software, which actually forces you to show your initiative, because you can't take a look on other people and wait for them and expect them to solve problems for you. Actually, people on that, this is my experience at least, people on other projects really are not learned to work in these conditions. They want to have some established pure leaders and they just want to follow up. This is purely wiki culture, that people convert themselves to leaders if needed. So quick summary, sorry for bashing with them. With that. So Wikimedia needs leadership and provide great opportunities for organizers, visionaries, mediators, and mentors. There are many activities for leaders, even judges in arbitration committees. There is no one set of skills. There are many things to do, really many. Volunteer-based projects with limited hierarchies allow to make your ideas, amazingly fast. You can make it real. The true thing is a distinction between leadership and dictatorship. This is the first thing. Because today I was talking with a man about managing Wikipedia, and I was showing out that actually Wikipedia has its own managers inside. For him, it was not the story, because he was always convinced that manager is the person who has some higher authority over you. Like, I don't know, he or she pays you or can sack you off, or things like that. And on Wikipedia, actually, we have both, because we have systems and arbitration committees, so they have a power over you. But on the other thing, they can organize things, they can communicate things, they can show things. They make a lot of things that actually project managers, executive managers, things like that in the so-called real world, in traditional companies do. And these are the volunteers still. Volunteers not only edit, but they make all the story run. And leadership is pretty needed too, because great wiki leaders improve Wikimedia on a larger scale. You can leverage your work by being a good leader, because you're serving as an example. So actually, not only you behave according to some code of conduct, but other people will start to behave in the same manner. Then you're establishing and promoting the best practices. Sometimes putting up, having your, I don't know, half an hour or an hour, and showing off a document, writing some kind of documentation, guidelines, can be very helpful for other people. You can be surprised how after the years people will follow some guidelines, some best practices. Then you are communicating with others more effectively. That means that you have less quarrels, more things getting done. And one more thing, if you convince one person to work on Wikipedia, or you convince one user who's edgy or fisty to become a good person, then actually you have a work of two persons getting done. So more leadership means more insight, more creativity, better environment, and higher standards. And actually all the higher standards, not only articles higher standards, but higher standards of processing things, higher ethical standards, better Wikipedia. So how to develop more leader in you and getting your things done faster? There's one beautiful document. I don't know, have you read it? There is an old document on English Wikipedia created by a pretty controversial but very interesting person, the Kunktator. The Kunktator was a user in the early days of Wikipedia, starting from, I guess, 2001. The document was created on this old wiki before MediaWiki in the first place. And Kunktator was the person actually probably who outed Larry Sanger. There was a big quarrel between those two guys. And Kunktator's point of view was that actually Wikipedia is an exercise in anarchy. That's why there was this document that Wikipedia is not an exercise in anarchy. So actually, my belief is that we are in the middle ground. You can't say that we live in a pure anarchy anyway. However, you can't ignore that. You can't ignore that the Wikipedia actually is a mixture of anarchy, democracy, bureaucracy, and everything we have over there. And Kunktator wrote a beautiful document, How to Build Wikipedia. If you want to follow me, there is such a document still on Meta, an English Wikipedia. This is here. You can Google it. And here is a simple set of rules given in the very early stage of Wikipedia. None of the, actually, not all of them are still valid because, actually, they are valid. Everybody agrees about them, but some of them are still surprising. And they are very, very old. The first one, and my favorite, my most favorite one, is this one. Be in charge and be humble. I think that this is the best advice that you can give to any leader. And be in charge. That means that you must be decisive. You must get the things done. You cannot escape the responsibility. Like hiding your head in the sand just does not solve the problem. Because you want to be the leader, so you must do something about that. My experience from Polish Arbitration Committee is that, for instance, decisiveness is crucial. Our problem was that when Polish Arbitration Committee has been created, actually Sisyphus wanted to push as many things to Arbitration Committee as they could. And then, not only we didn't want to take all those things, but we really had problems with decisiveness, with implementing our ideas. And we've been bashed for that. Anyway, so be decisive. On the other hand, be humble. So be respectful for other people. Understand that you really don't know everything and you are not 1% okay with some things. You are not always right. There are many things that you need to improve. There are many things that you need to learn. If you even think that you are better, then be polite. Talk with people. Learn their story. Then we will have both more pleasant environment and actually higher ethical standards. How to be decisive and how to be humble in the same way. That's the tricky thing. Sometimes, for instance, personally, I think I'm too humble. And some users just get away with some too bold edits. However, you can't have both ways. Well, you still need to practice, find your own balance. There will always be harsher sysops who will be more decisive. There will be people who will be more humble. We need to make it out. Then, second thing, understanding bias. And it means mostly understanding your own bias. Here is, if you've been, once again, in Rappaport, about NPUV. There was the old definition of NPUV, that NPUV is actually what consensus gave you. Not what sources gave you, but what consensus gave you. And actually, Kungtator states from the very beginning the things that I believe too. Like, there is no, in reality, we don't have a neutral point of view. Yeah, it's an ideal. You can't really establish such a thing. So you need to understand your own bias, understand the bias of other people, and create consensus building up in there. The third thing, following understanding bias, is appreciating idiosyncrasy. So we appreciate that we are different. Being different gives us the opportunity to actually create better articles and better policies, because we have different points of view, and we need to learn from each other. Then, this point had a second meaning, because in the early days of Wikipedia, there was something like right to leave, that you actually have a right to leave and that's all. Now, actually, when we transferred from tech heads to the next stage, we understood that we have actually a right to differentiate. We have a right to have different opinions on the project. And it doesn't mean that somebody needs to necessarily leave. Well, we can live with that. Then, using Wikipedia software as a community. Community-based Wikipedia software. And actually, we do that. We do that through tool servers, through gadgets, through many things like that. But we can still be better like that. Fifth thing is making big plans on Wikipedia. So make your documents on Wikipedia. Share your ideas. Even if you think that you will not implement things, just share your ideas on Wikipedia. And that was one of the things that I have done on Polish Wikipedia. There was such a thing like good articles. And I believe that good articles were overly democratic. Like people were voting on what's good and what's not, and there was no clear process of making sure that you have a good, really good article, like with a scientific point of view. And I proposed the better articles. Unfortunately, due to personal reasons, I didn't. Then I needed to quit running this project. So then it was scaled down by a colleague of mine. However, after a year or two, it was re-implemented, things like that. Actually, it still lives on Polish Wikipedia. Like 70-80% of text literally stays on the Polish Wikipedia. So even if you don't have the time to run your project, maybe somebody else will. Maybe you will inspire someone else. Maybe something better will be coined out. Always you can, I don't know, go back to your ideas. So just put them down. And the last thing, or maybe the last thing, is avoiding cabals. That's the hash thing. And actually in Polish Wikipedia, we really tried not to go there. Following the spirit and letter of the GFDL, I'm pretty sure that nowadays we are completely kosher with that. And just to make the circle, being respectful but firm. Be respectful for the others. And in Kunktator's point of view, it was like, be respectful when you are a protester, but be firm on your stance. Be respectful. So don't bash the people who have authority over you. Don't bash them. Try to convince them. Be polite. It doesn't help anyone to be harsh on those on the people. However, be firm. On the second side, when you're a CISIP, be respectful for the people. Don't kill them. Don't destroy their articles just because they are and because you can. But be firm and introduce your policies when you have, for instance, a troll. So, please, if you have some time, maybe later, copy this document and maybe just take a look on that. I think it's still pretty useful. It has like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 9 years old. It has like 10 years. But I think that we still can learn from it. That's all. Any questions? Okay, because, well, my experience was for Polish Wiki, and actually it worked pretty well. However, as I have seen, actually there are many things that were implemented on English Wiki pretty easily. For instance, Wiki projects or portals. It was implemented very easily. This thing was implemented by a Polish user who just copied the thing firstly from French Wikipedia to Polish Wikipedia, and then from Polish Wikipedia to English Wikipedia. And suddenly everyone was happy with that. And, well, I know that there are many bad ideas, really bad ideas, and then you have conflicts. However, sometimes it's pretty easy to get things done. Still, we are talking about the fifth site of the internet, the biggest non-commercial site of the internet. And still, any regular person has a chance to improve it and give something for it. Something like that. And at first, I don't believe that everyone will go up and introduce leading skills in the same pace. I don't believe in such a thing. But yes, actually, everyone can be a leader. And everyone can use some simple skills as long as he or she is humble and respectful for the others. And then we actually get the better project because we just introduce better standards of cooperation. we introduce more vision and more understanding what we are actually doing. Actually, I was always believing in my personal example, and I don't know, teaching people on IRC when IRC was popular, and I don't know, I was not that bad. I don't know, there was no, I think, any request for comments or any big controversy with me on Polish Wikipedia. I was introduced to the arbitration committee for such a reason. So I think yes, that's why, for instance, in Polish Wikipedia we have created something like tests for future admins. We have tests like some complex user cases or cases of studies, and then there were questions for them, what would you do? And then there were some, we had some questions and answers. So we had some process. Why would you do that and why not that? Why haven't you thought about doing this and that? Just to improve the level of administration on Polish Wiki, because we believed in that when we have the better systems, that it would just go down to the regular users and so on and so forth.
Hello, my name is Brandon Harris. Hells yeah. I work for the foundation, designer. This talk is Identity, Reputation, and Gratitude, or as a lot of you are very much afraid about social media and networking tools. And how they're coming. So, we're calling this one Identity, Reputation, and Gratitude. And gratitude is the last thing in the list, but we're going to make that be the first thing that we talk about. Because I want you all to look around and see somebody you know, somebody you don't know. Doesn't matter. This person is in the project with you. And I want you to thank them. Why do we do that? Gratitude creates empathy. Empathy is important. In fact, it's so important that Professor Benkler stole my talk. He dropped out that wonderful, wonderful slide, which actually shows all the data about how increased empathy and increased gratitude will, you know, promote usability, accessibility, all sorts and kinds of wonderful things between humans, not just between man and the machine. We know that expressions of gratitude early in a life cycle promote survivability. That is absolutely a done deal. When you thank a new editor, when you thank a newbie, they stick around. This creates empathy, again. And empathy promotes positive activity. Working with you, I understand you, now we can work together and not fight. Or we can be collaborative. But in order to do that, we need to have identity. So, who am I? Identity is a contextual thing. It's always context. I've grown up my entire life as Brandon. Eventually, I got online and my identity kind of mutated, and I became Jorm. My parents think of me as their son. People I work with, I'm a metalhead. To the bulk of the Wikimedia project community, I'm a designer. And to my girlfriend, I'm a guy who doesn't take out the trash. I'm also the angry hippie. So, what does identity give us? What's its value? Well, clearly, you know, it makes me recognizable. We all know, we can just say, I know this person. Because of that, it also makes it easy to find me. And in a big project like this, that's important. You want to be able to say, I need to find the person who can help me with this. Not just ask a question out there and pray that somebody answers, because right now that's kind of how it works. But instead, we can go like, I want to find the person whose job it is this way, and we can do that with better identity mechanisms. Identity allows me to take pride in my accomplishments. But even more than that, it binds my accomplishments to my identity. And what does that do? Well, it creates a reputation. All my good things and all my bad things are right there, tied on. And that keeps me honest. So let's talk about social networks. We got a boos and hisses. Is there any of that coming? Okay. Yeah, all right. Social network's a crappy term. It's awful. Because it's too overloaded. It means too many things to too many different people. When people hear the term, they mostly think of this frivolous, we're just going to play around, you know, Facebook-y, MySpace, let me tell you about the music I listen to kind of thing. But really, a social network is any type of a community that has ways to recognize each other. All communities with identity are social networks, all of them, including Wikipedia. But I actually prefer, when we talk about Wikipedia, to use a different term. It's a collaborative system. Collaborative systems are also social networks, but, you know. Now, communities, while being built by people, all produce a product. And that product is defined as pretty much their motivation. Motivations of communities are important. That's what defines them. Some communities are based around entertainment. Xbox Live, Reddit, they're just playing around. It's fun. Others are, they're news or mischief. If you ever spend any time on 4chan, you'll understand. Dating communities. I mean, because really, why else are you there? Or you have collaboration stuff, Quora, Stack Exchange, and Wikipedia. We're trying to build something. So what's everyone's biggest fear? Well, yeah, Facebook. That we're going to become Facebook. I hear that all the time. Oh, we're going to add like buttons. Oh, we're going to have friend circles. Oh, these identity things are going to make us do this sort of stuff. Well, you see, that's not going to happen. We're not Facebook. We're never going to be Facebook because we have a completely different motivation. We're Wikimedia. We're building something. And that right there prevents us from ever becoming Facebook. I want to talk for a minute about how communities are normally created, how they grow. What happens is you have a person with interest and an identity. And then eventually you find somebody else finds her with the same interest and an identity. And then they have a conversation. And then eventually, more people will bring themselves into the conversation, and still more. And eventually, you'll create ties between these. All these identities get connected together. And now that you have a connected set of people with conversations, you have created a community. And it just happens, because we are social creatures. Identity plus conversation equals community. People join communities for different motivations. Everybody's personal motivation for joining a community changes. But we're all hardwired for social thinking. We all want to talk. We all want to be friends. No one really wants to be a bad guy or an enemy. They also want value from the community. I mean, I could go join a Harley-Davidson motor club thing, but get no value from it because I really don't know anything about Harley-Davidson motorcycles or even ride them or care. I might do it just, you know, for the beer, right? But, you know, otherwise I need to have a reason to be there. Everyone's motivations, they're largely personal. You really can't pin one person's motivation for being on Wikipedia to another person. Some have altruistic ideas. Some other people want to do research. Some people want to just be editors and write and have, you know, be able to say, like, I was part of this thing. They're largely personal, but everyone wants to be heard. Now, here's the bad thing. The way that you're heard on Wikipedia or any of the other projects is by making a contribution, an edit. And unfortunately, edits have become the social currency. The more edits you have, the more likely you are to be heard. So you're spending your edits to, like, talk. And that's not exactly the best thing, because it creates an environment where shouting makes, the more you shout, makes you more popular. Or banned, I guess. What this does is it sets us up for a system of evaporative cooling. Evaporative cooling is a social network term involving the dynamics of the way communities work. Contributors to a community have value. In that there are high-value contributors, medium-value contributors, low-value contributors. The metaphor of evaporative cooling says is that when a high-value contributor leaves, it's entirely likely that they're going to take other contributors with them. And by leave, I don't mean goes away. I mean, for any reason, they got too busy, they died, they just started a fight with too many people, taking a wiki break, because low-value contributors get their value from the high-value contributors. They learn from them, it's basically, you know, there's the teachers and the students, and eventually the students become the teachers. Or in theory, that's the way it's supposed to be. But as highest value contributors leave, the overall tone and health of the community will decrease. And that's normally not a problem, because in most communities, there's an influx of new users from the bottom. And as they come in, they provide value to the highest level who start to mentor them. And this, the entire cycle is a churn. There's a user churn base. That's healthy. We're not healthy. Because, frankly, we did it backwards. You know, I said earlier that a community is focused towards a product. And normally, you start with the individuals, you have the conversations, you have the community, and then you create your product. Well, actually, Wikipedia started with the product first and focused on the community second. That's really not very good, especially because they've completely avoided working on identity. And by they, I mean everybody. They being your project, your project, your project. Because of that, social norms and currency evolved organically and poorly. And it's killing the projects. We know this. If we lose the editors, if they don't come back, if we can't reverse the trend, that's it. We'll end up with spinning disks in a box and no updates ever. But we can fix this. And how we're going to do that, well, we have to introduce identity. We have to introduce better identity mechanisms, specifically to encourage empathy. We're going to tie them into collaboration systems. We're going to reinforce identity through community goals. And that's the important thing. This is why we're never going to be Facebook. Because it's not about your name or your picture or anything like that. It's about your role. I am a translator. I have commit access. I work with Wiki Loves Monuments. I'm a chapter member. My role, how the project affects me. We're going to take your individual identity to the community goals and come back and forth. And so that binds you. That binds you to the community, and that binds the community to you. And it just strengthens the ties. Because then you feel loved. And you feel appreciated, and you have gratitude. So we come back to gratitude here. And now it's my turn. I'm going to thank you, every single one of you people, because I'm filled with gratitude. Every day I wake up and I realize I'm part of this thing. We are fighting evil. You think you're laughing, but we are. Because when you understand things, when you give people free knowledge, they can't be put back in these teeny boxes. When you teach people that they are being oppressed, they can't be oppressed. That's how it works. That's what we're doing. We're changing the world for the better forever. This is the first line of my obituary. And I want to thank you for letting me do it. That's all I got. I'm certain that there are questions. Questions?
I probably shouldn't be asking questions on the next speaker, but I should be connecting my computer. But still, we have time. So that's very interesting what you said in one of the last slides, when you said that basically an identity at Wiki is not your passport, it's not your Facebook account. It's the role that you play in the community. It's your contributions, it's your... Is my question so offending?
No, I'm trying to avoid peeing on myself here. I'm going to sit down. Go on.
Okay, so the question is about what's your opinion or view on multiple identities? When one person wants to work for two different projects, fulfill two different roles, and he doesn't want them to be mixed.
You mean like, you're not talking about sock puppeting or anything like that?
No, I'm talking about goodwill multiple.
So, okay. You just don't want your reputation to cross the borders? If you have two goodwill identities, I'm a little confused as to why you wouldn't want that. But,
I want to say one professional, one for hobby.
Oh, well, I mean, people do that all the time. I mean, in other things. Like a LinkedIn profile versus a Facebook profile, right? Sure, yeah, no, so we're talking about pseudonymity there, and that's something that people confuse. We have the concept of personal identity, like what's on my driver's license and passport and all that other stuff, that's reality, and then we have my online, you know, nicknames and so forth, and it's my personal identity, and my nicknames are very closely tied. You know, I don't try to hide behind it or don't want to, you know, worry about it, but I have a lot of friends who, like, actually try to make sure that their online life is completely, you know, segmented. So they have like a life that's for work and then they have a life that's, you know, for friends and they don't mix them up.
Yeah, so what's your view on that?
I think it's fine. I mean, everybody does it. Why not?
I know everybody does.
No, I mean, I don't think that my view on that is that it's natural. So one of the earlier slides talks about context, identity as being contextual. And so your context, your identity is going to change in those things. That's just always the way it works. My parents don't think of me as a metalhead. They just don't, and I don't try to bring that part of thing of my life to them. Dario. Uh-huh.
And they say, quote, Wikipedia has policies that discourage interpersonal ties. A user interface that makes direct private exchanges between communities
Yeah, I think that's false too. I don't agree with that premise that you can have, that you have to have either a completely goal-oriented or completely social-oriented system. That one, there's one or the other. I think that it's definitely a mix of the two, and I think that they're both essential. So, you know. Okay, yes. We are planning to do something further. There is a series of things that we, small projects and large projects that we work on for what we're calling the new editor engagement project, or it used to be called -1 to 100. We rename everything. That's how you know we're serious. One of the things that is in the pipe is a project called Global Profile. And it's basically a way for us to start using structured mechanisms to attach, you know, what people are interested in working on so that we can start finding other things for them to do. And what are their associations and roles, or the roles they're trying to take within the projects. And like, say, like, you know, the languages they speak, and actually be able to provide information about themselves to the public or to the other, to other people. This is the thing that I think a lot of people are afraid of. I hear that. Most of what I hear is that they don't want like buttons and they don't want friends lists. And I don't want those either, because they're kind of not what we're about. Now, I can see like a situation, and we will likely begin experimenting with something along this line in the future, which is more like a way to express micro gratitude for you know, comments. Or revisions, or any type of contribution to the project, you can basically say thank you. Is that like? I don't know. I mean, we have to we need to look at that and decide whether or not the end result. I mean, how it plays out. I don't think that by saying we're not Facebook, I don't think we're being defensive. The issue is that it's actually defensive in the other direction. So whenever anybody suggests something like being social, there's always somebody who drops a WP, not Facebook, like in every conversation. And honestly, that's just being an asshole. sorry. I'm a little rough and tumble sometimes. yeah, Brian's like, sometimes. I absolutely agree. I'm going to cut you off right here, because what I'm going to suggest you go do is go to www.mediawiki.org and search for Global Profile. Just trust me. It's exactly what you're talking about. I'm going to go with her first. Yes. So the best way to help to do this, actually, seriously, again, I want to go back to that that global profile thing that's on MediaWiki, the best thing to do is to actually get involved into conversations on those design documents early. This is like where we have to do our development segmented. So I'm working on one of my tasks, actually, that I have to start pretty much once I get back to the States, is to begin working on a more formalized process for how we're going to go about producing and moving features along. And I want to get community involvement in as early as possible. And that starts with, like, well, we've got this idea. Here's our first run at a design. Let's just put it up the flagpole, see who salutes. And we're going to see, you know, I want to hear what people's concerns are or what, you know, what type of ideas they have. Because honestly, we don't know that everything is going to work. It's like Wikilove got translated to, it's being translated into Hebrew, but there's a cheeseburger on it. I mean, we can't do that. This is the type of information we need early on, and we need to know that certain ideas are bad. We're grateful to you for this too. I can't speak to that, like project birth or death. I just pulled all those images from the front page of Wikimedia.org. So. This is all our projects. Eric. Yeah. So social norms evolving organically. Well, nerds, when left to their own devices, when left to your any group of people, actually, when left to their own devices, it becomes Lord of the Flies. Do you ever read that book? It's a great example of what happens. Is you get a bunch of people put them on an island, and then there's nothing around to say this is the wrong thing to do, or this is, I'm going to encourage you to behave this way. If there's no type of social normalization, what happens then is you end up having stunted and bad behaviors. And then they just get reinforced because everybody goes, oh, well, this is the normal thing to do. In like a lot of hacker cultures, it's a normal thing to be really, really aggressive when you have conversations. And so it makes everyone look like a jerk. But the fact is that that's the social norm. The reason, you know, that's one of the reasons that, I mean, frankly, that's the reason that we don't have as big of a female editing percentage is because, you know, Wikipedia socialized itself into being a bunch of misogynist jerks. I mean, I don't mean you guys, but I mean just in general. I think one more. Can I do one more? Yeah, I got one more question. Time for one more. Does anybody have one? Because, okay. Exactly. Exactly. The community is very harsh, and it's just filled with bite. Even when a long time ago I got divorced, I had a friend of mine sit me down and told me he had gone through the entire thing and what he did. He said, right now, you're your own worst enemy, and you're going to be that way for like the next year, and you need to understand that. And you need to understand that when you think that you're being sincere, you're being a jerk. And when you think you're being honest, you're being an asshole. It's just the way that it comes out. It's like, because your perception about things gets skewed. And so the social norms of the community are skewed. So they think that being, when you go WP, not Facebook, they think that means that they're being sincere. And that's the type of social normalization we can correct and fix through empathy. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to. I think I'm done, so.
I should start with identities and gratitude in order to relate to the previous talk. So this is my name. I have different identities. One of them is Vadim, which is used in so-called real life in when I work, when I get myself in support. Some of the people from Wikipedia can know me as Spider, but I go by Grammar World Twitter and by some other names in other places. So this is a talk about wiki migration. I kind of hit the outline slides, so just look for the big pictures. They will show the sections of the talk. So one big disclaimer: this talk is not about specifically not about Wikipedia as such. So I kind of don't really agree with the last presenter in the sense that. He said that there were cases when most of the people in the room are not from Wikipedia at all. But well, mostly it's all about Wikipedia. This one's not. This one's about any wiki community, including Wikipedia as well. So first of all, of course, the motivation: why you migrate and how do you do that? What exactly are the scenarios for migration? What the hell is that? So one of the easiest example of wiki migration is wiki forking. When you have one wiki and one community, and your community basically splits, and part of the community wants to go one way, the other wants to go the other way. You need to migrate some of your content probably to get to a different website. This one is kind of a social problem. Well, it's not necessarily a problem, but it's a social question. But it's also a technical question. So for now, we don't have this kind of view as you can have in database world, whatever. When you technically limit yourself at looking at particular parts of the whole system while still working with the system. I think at some point, maybe in 10 years or something, Wikipedia will evolve to that, but at some point, at this point, it's not. So then you can have a content split where you might have the same community working in two different parts, or probably some overlapping communities. Then you can have a merger when you have two wikis that decide to come together, and then you can combine the content, combine the people, and combine the effort that you do. And you can also have this kind of version when you have a dead wiki with no community, but hopefully some content that you might want to use. So you combine that, and it's still that wiki that it was, but with some new content, and some new things. Then you can have upgrade when you have a really old wiki farm or wiki website that has not been technically updated in a while, and you want to get somewhere else, maybe on the same host, maybe somewhere else. And then there is this specific case when you have a wiki, and it's on some wiki form, it evolves, and then just suddenly your wiki starts to look like this. So there's lots of banners and everything, and your wiki is somewhere in between those things. And of course, what happens after that is you start losing people. So what you want to do is you want to get to a clean place first to get all this crap out of your screen, to really see your wiki again, and then hopefully you will start getting some new people. And another scenario that I thought was kind of trivial, so I didn't even put it in the slides, but I talked to some people and they think it's fascinating. It's a front end. So, I was at some point asked, I'm administrating several communities, some of them are in Wikia. And Wikia is kind of sometimes overdoing the banners and fancy designs. So what they wanted is to have a clean place to read the wiki from your mobile phone, from your iPad, from anything, to read it in a way that you want, to be able to resize the window and make the text resize with you and so forth. And this is also kind of a migration. It's an automated process that can be run every day or every week or whatever, but it's a migration. So that's for the motivation. So for the community migration, first one I consider public domain, this is fair use. You know where this is from, you know why it's here, if you don't read these small letters. So wiki community, what does it consist of? There are, I will make some example of wiki fauna, and not only fauna. So, first of all, you have system operators, bureaucrats, in a good sense, people who are administering the community. You have technical administrators and wiki nerds, people who work with team plays, doing some small stuff. You have the real Wikipedians, the ex-Wikipedians, people who write pages, who contribute textual content. Then you have content beautifiers, in Wikifauna they call Wiki Fairies and Wiki Imps. The Wiki Imps, they find the problem, and they say, citation needed, but the Wiki Fairies are the ones that, you know, fix your punctuation and add proper tags to your images. Then you have Minipedians. Minipedians do all kinds of other stuff as well, but what they are particularly good at is discussions. They go to discussion pages and say, okay, I disagree with this article, you should move this to there, and so forth. And these are the part of your community. You shouldn't ignore them. Then you have people who create supplementary content, like illustrators, logo creators, whatever. Then you have people who are in Wikifauna, called Wiki Puppies, maybe one of the reasons novice Wikipedians don't survive. Then we have dormant participants, the ones that don't contribute every day, but sometimes, like for Wiki Angels, it's like they descend sometimes to your wiki, they look at it, and then they go back. But you should ignore them as well, because first of all, they've been with the community for quite a while, maybe for longer than you, they know it. And also, it's kind of stupid that sometimes they descend, they look at your wiki, especially if you're migrating, it's a lot of change. They look at this and say, oh, the wiki ain't like it were. And then they ascend back to the heaven, but what you're left with is dissatisfied community. They think, oh, damn, it's really not like it were. But maybe it's for the best, but you have to think of all categories. And there's one category that's always overlooked and never talked about. It's people who actually read your wiki. So in Fauna they call wiki princesses. They just lie like a princess on the pillows and they read the content that others write. But they are also very important. A bit of information about the admin. So I know some of the people in the audience don't like CitizenU, some people don't like Wiki Reality. Most of the people who don't like Wiki Reality for some reason left. They didn't know I had this slide. But the thing is, even if you don't like them, you can learn from your enemies. So the thing is, an admin on one website is not exactly the same as an admin on another website. Some have officers and editors, some have like wardens, people who kind of fight vandalism on the database, experts who summarize discussions and make conclusions, masters who write technical stuff and so forth. And on some wikis, the list goes on and on and on, and sometimes it's not even kind of a clear distinction, but it's just a bunch of flags that can be given to a particular person. It's just, I will talk about them in detail in a while, but you need to kind of already understand that if you're migrating from one platform to another, which is a really different one, then you need to be prepared that people will not have exactly the same responsibilities. So how to migrate community roles? Well, technical stuff, people who do the magic with the team plays, sometimes they need to be re-educated, and you have to have the documentation ready, because if you're migrating from, I don't know, Wikidot to MediaWiki, then the whole syntax is different, and the whole thing of you know, importing parts of other things, templates, modules, whatever you call it in your wiki engine, is different. You need to give them some more information. Maybe they're willing to that. Then you have XMPs that that really write papers. You just provide them as just be as helpful as possible, help them as much as possible, and let them do their thing because they can just work the same way they work. And then for people who are doing small technical stuff, just be patient. Give them time. They will adjust, and slowly they will start doing their small things. So for mid-opinions, as I said, they're very good at discussing things. But the thing is, when you're migrating the wiki, there are too many things to discuss, naturally. But you should value your time, because if someone just goes through your wiki and adds 100 discussion pages and raises 100 questions at a time, if you spend all your time on just discussing those things, you do not solve the issues that they are addressing. So sometimes it's better to distribute the time with you know, solving something and not only discussing how would you solve it. Illustrators, they are nice to have. It's very good to have a new logo and new fancy stuff around it. And don't be afraid to ask. I'm speaking as a person who did who uploaded like 500 quality illustrators over the years, but illustrations, not illustrators. Just to address those people, ask them for help and support, but don't overdo it, because I've seen wiki projects fail a lot, but I've never seen a project that failed because it didn't have a logo. Then with no license, just you know, make it easy for them. Just pretend that it's very easy for everyone, and they will go. So things that you need to think of when you are migrating community: do they need to re-register the new website? If they need to, then it's a lot of work sometimes. If they don't need to, do they trust you with their passwords and so forth? So how do you migrate the information about the user? Some I will talk about ontologies in a moment. And it's the whole infrastructure about user information might be really, really different on a different level. How do you migrate the statistics? People who have like 10,000 edits, they want to have 10,000 edits, or at least have a comparable level of gratitude from the community in a new place. They don't want to be in the same sandbox as everyone. Of course, they will be, but they want to feel like they are appreciated. And as we heard, it's important to be appreciated and to make people feel appreciated. And then you can have, of course, some name clashes, especially if you merge namespaces like user and multiple. Okay, broader picture, yeah, you have to think about search engines, and maybe your project was integrated somewhere, and maybe you have some portals and so forth. So, now for content migration. So, this is a copyrighted image, but I have the right to use it. It was done by Tobias Banders. It's the logo of the language that we are making in Amsterdam. It's a meta programming language where you can operate on structured content. So, content migration. The easiest thing is when you migrate into one media wiki website to another media wiki website. You do a special export at one place, you go to another place with your file, you do a special import. That's it. Of course, it's not that easy. You have to kind of cut it to pieces because there might be some limitations. You might require some additional work, especially if you don't stop the work at the old place where you are migrating and support. But still, it's kind of straightforward. There is some work on wiki interchange format, but I mean, this is if it works for you, or if you're looking at these slides 10 years from now, from the future, then please use this method. It's very good. But for now, I've never seen it working technically. you can use web scraping, and that's particularly good when you are creating a front end for Wiki. Just make something that generates the HTML for the old Wiki, and then you don't have to worry about how it's represented inside. And then you get that, and you might transform it into a Wiki if you want to import it directly, or just put it as is. The hard part is when you need to map between dialects. I will give some information about that, quite some. And then some wiki engines like TWiki have HTML importing. So if you have HTML, you can import them. Just make sure you don't have the navigation elements in them. You don't want them to the navigation elements of the old wiki to appear in the new wiki. So. Sometimes I put this slide, I skip through them, the quotations from Twitter. On the summer school, it was long ago, someone said, if you hate something, you need to automate it. So how do we automate the migration of little wiki syntaxes? Well, wiki syntaxes, there are like 100 of them, maybe more, and some of them just use like three square brackets instead of two square brackets. Some of them put description before the target for the link, some of them put it the other way around, and so forth. So it's different. I will show some examples. So the methods that you can use a lexical method, set, awk, grep, search and replace, anything that might work for you. It's only a one-time thing, so no matter how hard you hack, it stays a hack and you cannot reuse it. And it's very error prone. There is a very very famous thing in Russian community. Some encyclopedia started like 5 years ago, and they thought it's a good start to rip off a lot of content from Wikipedia. I'm not sure if they were created in Wikipedia or not, but the thing is they just created a thing to grab a lot of articles from Wikipedia and put them into their own thing. The thing was that they were called blah 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 encyclopedia. The site is long dead, no one knows what it is. But they didn't want to have Wikipedia mentioned on their website. So they say, okay, let's replace wiki by encyclo, and then we have encyclopedia every time they say Wikipedia. But the thing is, in Russian there is no distinction between W and V. So the famous article was about Vikings that became an article about encyclopedias. And it went about the lives of encyclopedias and the history of them. The lexical approach, it really does something like that. And sometimes it's very hard to spot those things because you just automate it, you run it on your 10,000 articles, and yeah, something happens. Then you have this thing called formal grammars that we use for programming languages, and it's kind of complicated in theory and sometimes in practice as well, but it works for programming languages, also for complicated ones, so why not try to use it here? The particularly wiki syntax is good to represent the skeletal grammars, or island grammars, where you don't parse all the content like you do in Java or whatever, but you kind of have the lake of everything and then you parse some parts of it. But in ideal situation, what we want is a wiki page is a structured content. We want to operate on it like a structured content, and we want to manipulate it in a semi-automated way. It says that we say what to do and it does it. So I promised some examples of wiki syntax. I just grabbed a couple of wikis. I'm obviously not doing a comparison of 100. But the thing is, so for example, on Wikidot and TiddlyWiki, you have this for bold and for italics. And if you combine them, it's a straightforward combination. But on TiWiki, it's not. So bold italics and bold monospace is just specific types of italics and monospace. And in MediaWiki is this barricade of apostrophes that actually can be treated like two and then three, or three and then two, but you never know until you hit somewhere at the end. This is actually a special thing that switches on bold and italics at the same time. And the list goes on and on. Sometimes they fall down to HTML and they cannot represent it. But then again, not the whole HTML is represented there. So it's like bits of HTML plus what we hack there, plus some links. And it becomes even worse when with links and images and whatnot. So the point is that every time, I don't know about you, but every time I learn about new wiki syntax, I need to experiment. So, okay, this is how I make an image, this is how I make a link. How do I make an image with a link? On some websites, it's an image with a specific parameter with a link. On some, it's just a straightforward combination, and so forth. You have to kind of know these things in advance. And they can be formally specified in the grammar, and then when you transform, it becomes easier. So the formal thing, well, we're not working with source code or Wikibase. Formal thing is the modern paradigm that is called EASY, extract, analyze, and synthesize. If you're interested, just read the theory. There's a very long article about that. What we need for us is extract is basically parse. So we have a grammar. We either write our own grammar or we use one of the existing grammars. None of the existing grammars so far cover the whole media wiki. But for migration, you don't need to cover everything. But yeah, eventually it would be nice to have the whole thing. So the last thing, I'm sure it's the last one. I submitted it last week. So it's recovery of media wiki grammar. It's on Archive, which is a free website. You can download it and see what grammar recovery looks like. So this is an example of how definition of a wiki syntax would look like. This is a very simple one that just shows anything that's not a link and a link. And it just says that wiki text is some symbols and words, links. And word is anything that's allowed by with a lexical form. And link is blah blah blah. All the square brackets that you may know, it's just there in a formal way. This thing can be used to automatically create a parser and to operate on a single string to do some analysis. Analysis can include something that you need to have in preparation for your migration. And after that, you write a couple of functions like you do in Java, but with some easy set operation with four cycles. And then, for example, you can say that, okay, if it's this, then just do the root of what was there, but if not, just flip destination and description. And this is how you transform a syntax with RESTful. You can follow any of the links and read a lot about that, and there is a huge theory on that. So, a couple of words about ontology migration. So what's ontology? It's kind of an infrastructure around your thing. It's how you combine pages in a wiki, basically. How your wiki looks like. So this is a picture taken from a paper Falcon and Warren about, from Wikisim paper. It's view on a wiki ontology. It's highly questionable, so I would have asked you if you agree with that, but I wouldn't put it a special section if I were to agree with that. So this is more like media wiki when you have multiple articles on media and history of edits, revisions, and so forth. But you don't really know if all these things are essential and imminent for any wiki. So, for example, does article has to have a discussion page? Not really. Does article have to have only one discussion page? Not really. It's a technical thing about media wiki, and actually there are sometimes several unlinked discussions there. There are users that don't have that don't edit their page, but there are not a lot of them. And so there are a lot of questions like that about how to go with categories and so forth. They will eventually need to be thought of also by media wiki developers, but for now you will have to think about how to map this, for example, to the ontology of Wikidoc if you're going from Wikidoc to media wiki. or from TV, or anything like that. I'll skip the mismatches because they're kind of easy to guess, but go to conclusion. In short, just prepare well for migration. It's a hard thing to do, but it's pretty doable. Just dedicate yourself to it, research what needs to be done. Probably have a dedicated person or, I don't know, perhaps a committee if you have a lot of people. And inform the community. They deserve to know what's going on, what exact consequences will it have. Some people might decide to leave, but it's not the reason to not inform them. Content migration, the most tedious part, the most hard part, it can be automated, and please do so. Don't do it by hand. Ontology mismatches, you have to, again, think about them in preparation and know how to map them. For people who really work for your wiki, minimize the problems, just make it as transparent as possible. If nothing works, then you can encapsulate new content if it's written in a different style or whatever, and you can address it later. Again, prepare for the work of Wikipedians, and then you can proceed with the new wiki. Yeah, so once again, for credit you, thanks for listening, thanks for scholarship, and these are two URLs that are slowly appearing here. One is for Rascal language. There is a release either already done or will be later this week, a very new one. It works in Eclipse. It's a very easy thing to start working with. And if you have any questions, just address me. This is my webpage. It has slides and all the other information and links to other papers and whatnot. So you were quite silent. Some people left, some people stayed, but I see that people are looking at me, so probably they're not sleeping. So thanks again for everything, and ask me something. Yes?
I really liked your categorization of the fairies, the unpolished.
I liked it too.
Is it yours?
Yes, it's mine. But you can use it. It's by SA. Just mention the name, one of my names.
Have you seen other examples of ontologies like this?
There is a big page on Wikipedia on Wikifauna, and it has all kind of wiki ogres, wiki knights that kind of fight everyone. I suppose. Wiki dragons that sleep all the time, and they wake up and do thousands of edits in a day, and then sometimes destroy everything in their farm, and so forth. So it's obviously not serious, and it's never meant to be used in classification in the form of all types of Wikipedians formally. But I kind of reuse it in a serious way, but it's also useful. More questions?